welcome to everyone today. If you're a guest with us today, we're so glad that you're in service with us today. Pray that you are touched by the Spirit of the Lord in this place today. If you're watching us online this morning, wherever you're watching from, we pray that you are blessed by the presence of the Lord, because He's the same wherever you are as He is in this place. Amen. Praise God. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, it soothes my doubts and calms my fears. And that same blood dries all my tears. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Oh, it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Oh, I know that it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for the power of the blood today, Jesus. Thank you for the power of the blood today, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. If you're a young person, teenager, there is youth class this morning. You're welcome to slip out and go to that. I apologize. I forgot to mention that earlier. So if you're a young person, 13 to 18, there is youth class this morning if you want to participate in that class. I want to read one verse of Scripture to you this morning before you're seated. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. As I think many of you are aware of, we were gone last weekend. My cousin Jason, his grandfather on his dad's side of the family, passed away. Funeral was in South Carolina, and we went down for that. And we actually had a really special treat last week. Last weekend, I have no idea the last time anything like this has happened, but my wife and I got to spend a couple of days with my dad and mom, just the four of us. No kids, no grandkids, nobody else. And so we made a Walmart stop, if anybody knows, and if you're out of town, you always have to stop by Walmart. And if it's a road trip, and it's anywhere south of here, you always need breakfast at Waffle House, or it's not a road trip. I started to post the picture. I didn't. Maybe I still should. You know, I'm going to tell on him. Bishop has this reputation as, you know, what's everybody think? Or I guess maybe it really is, but what's his first choice of a place to eat? Look at that. We were heading to the, I told my wife earlier, I'm like, you know, we may need to make one stipulation for this trip. And that is that my mom and you and I get to pick where we eat. Somebody just told me Tuesday, somebody that's not from here. I was watching service recently. Oh, my goodness, you are so much like your dad. And I take that as a compliment, but there's one way my dad and I are not alike. I got my taste buds from my mom. Don't get me wrong, I love hamburgers, but I love all kinds of other stuff too. So anyway, we're walking to the car, and my wife said that to my mom. So she responded, and we learned that my dad is a different guy when he travels. Because he does this apparently when it's just him and her, but he had researched out, Googled. Now, he didn't quite find the Yelp stars, but we'll give him credit for the Google stars. And he had planned the meals all out. And we did some good eating. So Sunday morning, they decided the night before there was a Waffle House right next to the hotel. See, one of the things that's awesome about Waffle House is you know what you're going to get no matter which one you go to. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be some very interesting servers. And you know, that's what you're going to get. And of all the places that we sat at the counter. So there was a bird's eye view of the chaos going on. I got a selfie of the four of us sitting at the counter at Waffle House. So all of that to then simply say, we made a stop at Walmart, and my mom and Angie went in, and my dad and I sat in the car, and he was sharing with me about some stuff, and this verse I'm about to preach to you from, he brought it up. And then actually a couple days ago we were in another conversation and he brought it up again. And really since that conversation, that was last Thursday night, it's just kind of been chewing on me, and so here we are. If 1 John 1:9, did I say that? Okay, I did. If we confess our sins, he might forgive us. The if here is not about forgiveness. The if is whether or not we confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to preach to you this morning for a little bit on this simple subject, beyond forgiveness. Beyond forgiveness. God, I thank you so much for your presence that we have felt in this place today. Your spirit that has been manifested in various ways this morning. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the way you've already touched people in this service. But I pray now that you would speak and minister through your word. God, I pray that a spirit, in fact, Lord, if I could be so bold as to say, I pray that the gift of faith would be released in this room right now. Lord, oftentimes when we hear the gift of faith, it has to do with miracles and signs and wonders. But Lord, I think there's some people in this place this morning that need the gift of faith to receive your word today. Because your word says if we don't mix it with faith, it will not profit us. And so let there be a mixing of your word this morning with faith, that people could leave this place transformed by the power of your spirit today. I trust you this morning. I depend on you. I pray for the grace, the wisdom, God, to say, to do this morning what you would desire, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want you to know this verse applies to anyone. Applies to everyone. But I do want to make a point, because I want, no matter what status you may be here today, you need to understand there's application to you from these verses. But I do want you to understand that this verse, it's important that you understand who these words were said to. There are some things that are used today to tell people what to do or how to be saved that are they're not using them in the right context. Because Romans, through the book of Jude, or what's called epistles. And those are not female apostles. Sounds like those are maybe, you know, female apostles. But in essence, an epistle is a letter. And as we all know here today, who the letter is addressed to is very important. If you pick up a letter somewhere that is addressed to dear Mr. Smith. Sorry for any Smiths here today. I don't know why we always use your name as the most common name, but and that letter states that your uncle died and you were left his estate. if you find that letter and if there's, you know, instructions on where to go to begin that process of claiming that estate, if you show up with that letter, there's a good chance they're going to ask you for some identification. And when you pull out your ID card and it says your name, that is not the name on the letter, it's not going to get you anywhere. And the problem is, too many times we take letters from Romans to Jude that were written to a specific group or a specific individual, and we use them to tell unsaved people how to be saved. And this is one of those places that is important, because to tell somebody to be saved, you just need to confess your sins. James was writing to people who were already converted. He was writing to people that were already saved. So if you've never confessed your sins, God will forgive you. But you don't just simply confess your sins and you're saved. I'll give you, there's way more to it than this, but I'll give you the most concise explanation of it. And that is Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That isn't the only thing or the only place, but it gives the most fundamental, straightforward steps of what you need to do to be saved. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you've never repented, you can repent and God will forgive you. But it's also very important for all of you saved folks today to realize that John was talking to saved people. Because many of us had way more faith for God to forgive us the first time we repented than we do the thousandth time we've repented. But John said, if you confess, he is faithful. If you do your part, he will do his part. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. The word forgive there in the Greek means, it's an interesting definition, because if I were to give you the definition, and you know, let's play a little what is it, Jeopardy, where you they give you the answer and then you say the question, which is just goofy. They're giving you, but it's lasted for decades, so it's worked for somebody. But if I were to give you, I wish I'd have thought of this earlier, but I didn't. If I were to give you the definition and then say, what word is that? I can pretty much guarantee you it would take us a long time for somebody to say, oh, that's forgive. Because the English definition of forgive is basically about, you know, releasing someone of wrongdoing or letting go of a debt or something like that. But here's what the word forgive here in the Greek means. It means of, off, from, signifying now separation. It is used of separation. It is used of local separation after verbs of motion from a place of departing, fleeing, removing, expelling, throwing. It is used of the separation of a part from the whole, whereof a whole sum part, not wholesome one word, but a whole space sum part is taken. Of any kind of separation of one thing from another by which the union or fellowship of the two is destroyed. Now that's the one that really, when he forgives you, he is bringing about a separation of you from your sin, that which has the ability to destroy you if you remain in union. When you confess your sins, another way I think of saying is repent. And let me also just simply say that repenting is not the same thing as apologizing. You can apologize for something you did without any intent of never doing it again. You can apologize for what you did and maybe even think, you know, I don't think that was really that wrong, but I will apologize anyway. That is not repentance. Repentance is not, oh God, my bad, you know, I messed up. Repentance is a change of heart, a change of mind, it's a change of direction. It's not that there's not an apology that's a part of repentance, but until there is a turning from what you did and going in a different direction and a change of mind, you have not truly repented. But forgiveness, when you truly confess and acknowledge your sin, He will separate the sin that if it remains in your life will destroy you. He is faithful to separate that from you. And I would propose to you this morning that many believers do okay with the first part of this verse. Even though sometimes we still battle, has God forgiven us? Will God forgive us? But we do all right. But I want you to notice that John, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he makes a distinction here between being forgiven of your sin and being cleansed. I've come to preach to some people today and hopefully some guests today that if you've never repented by the time I've done preaching, by the time hopefully the Lord has finished talking to you, you will have faith to believe that if you repent, God will forgive you and God can make you a brand new creature in Him. But I'm going to tell you, I've also come to preach to some saints this morning that you have perhaps been forgiven, but God wants you to know, I want to take you beyond just separating you from the sin. There is something else I have, and if you will confess, I will forgive, but I will also cleanse. The word cleanse here means, part of this is simple enough, but it means to make clean. It means to cleanse from physical stains and dirt. In a moral sense, it is to free from the defilement of sin and from faults. To purify from wickedness, to free from the guilt of sin, and to pronounce clean in a Levitical sense. If you don't really know what that means in a Levitical sense, that goes back to the Old Testament and the laws that God gave. And there was all kinds of things about what was clean and unclean and what you did, how it made you unclean. And so John is saying that when you confess, He will forgive, but He will also pronounce you clean in a Levitical sense. See, there's more to forgiveness than just it being a pardon. There's more that God has for you than just simply a pardon. There is a saying that you do the crime, you pay the time. If you committed a crime and you were sentenced to some period of time in jail, let's say 3 years for whatever you did, when you are released from jail, when you walk out from that 3-year sentence, I have a question. Are you now innocent? You're not. You paid the penalty for your crime, but you still have a record. You are still considered guilty. In fact, we in our leadership summit yesterday, the speaker we had this year is Brother Zant, who's actually Dr. Zant. And you know, as I often do when we have guest speakers, I'm sitting there yesterday trying to listen to him speak, but also thinking, I got to preach tomorrow. Jalen was, we had a couple different people speak about being intentional in certain areas, and Jalen, that's our youth pastor, and a bunch of other stuff, and most importantly, my son-in-law. I say other stuff because he does the media, et cetera, et cetera. So he was talking about it being intentional in your walk with God and devotion and all of those things. And he started, as a part of his thing, he started to use the analogy of an oxygen mask and being on a plane, and why they tell you that, you know, you're to put your oxygen mask first and then not others. And then he's starting to begin to explain because of how that affects your brain. And the second he started saying that, I'm sitting there thinking, dude, you are brave. You're going to start telling these people about the impact of oxygen on the brain, and sitting right here was a neurosurgeon. Like, man, you got some guts. Well, and every time I've spoken this weekend, I've done the same thing, and hopefully this got it out. Why was I talking about yesterday and Brother Zan? Yes, a record. Thank you. He made the point. He was talking about, I won't take the time for the whole story, but in college days, and a guy that was about to do something, and he would have to call the cops on him. He's like, listen, you can't be a physician if you have a felony on your record. And how many people, perhaps even some of you here today, you've spent time in jail and you've got a felony on your record, and it makes it very challenging to get employment. I'm preaching, and this is Sunday morning, and there's guests here, and I hope I hope the Lord is talking to you this morning. But I'm being honest. I've also come with a burden today, because I'm preaching to some people that you come all the time, but you haven't fully gotten the revelation that when God forgives you, it's not just pardoning you. That it's, you know what, you did this, you deserve to die, but I'm not going to kill you. What God offers is to completely clear the record. That it's not just saying you're not guilty of what you did. He is saying you didn't even do it. There's no record that you did it. How many of you don't, I'm not looking for an answer this morning, I'm not looking for, you answer this between you and Jesus, but how many of you sitting here today can say you truly live with that revelation that God, when He forgave you, He didn't just take away the penalty, He wiped the record clean. There is no record anymore. If you were to go look up the record, there's nothing to look up. But there's more, or it's this whole process that God is offering to us, and that is not simply to forgive, but to cleanse. The Passion Translation footnote says about this verse and this word cleansing, to continue a deeper work of cleansing from all aspects of sins. Defilement. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 is a verse that I've heard many times throughout my life, and I will tell you that it's one of those verses that when you read it in the King James, you at least for me, it's like you read it and you scratch your head, and like, I know that's important, I know that means something important, but not really quite sure what it means. So let's read it in the King James, and then let's see if we can figure out what it means. Isaiah 1 and 18. The word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And it's, you know, that the first part of that, kind of get that last, be like, they shall be as wool. Okay, what does that mean? The Living Bible says it this way. Come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. The word reason here, Barnes' note says, the word reason here denotes the kind of contention or argumentation which occurs in a court of justice where the parties reciprocally state the grounds of their cause. God's saying, let's have some discussion here. You tell me how bad you are. You tell me about all that you've done. You tell me about all the mistakes you've made. And then when you've told me your side, let me tell you my side. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. Passion Translation says in the footnote of the word scarlet, the Hebrew word for scarlet is taken from a root word for double dyed, D-Y-E-D, or twice dipped in scarlet dye, making a permanent color. The word crimson, the word for crimson is also a word for a worm that when crushed bleeds a deep crimson color and is then used to dye fabric a permanent color. Adam Clark says, to discharge these strong colors is impossible to human art of power. But to the grace and power of God, all things, even much more difficult, are possible and easy. The reason that it says it would do it as wool is because that is as wool undyed or from which the color is removed. Though your sins appear as deep stained and as permanent as the fast color of crimson and wool, yet they shall be removed as if that stain should be taken away from the wool and it should be restored to its original whiteness. Saying, just as a garment might be dyed so deeply that from a natural standpoint, there is no way of eliminating that dye. He's saying, I have the ability to wash you and make you clean as if you were white as snow, as if you were original wool that is pure white. No matter what you've done, no matter how much you've messed up, no matter how many times you've failed, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive, but not just forgive, to cleanse. Maybe you understand now why I prayed and said let there would be a gift of faith in this place. Because while there are many, let's just ask it this way. And this is not a trick question. I found out this weekend at Leadership Summit. I must be now becoming known like my dad for trick questions. And I tried to ask a trick question that I didn't want it to be a trick question. Or I didn't want people to think it was a trick question because I was trying to trick them, but nobody responded. So this is not a trick question. I feel like I now have to clarify. So now if I don't say it's a trick question, you will know it's a trick question. I always love, we have a meeting every year called PAWS, and people come in from all over the country, some even from around the world. And you can always tell the newbies. Because when Bishop Wright asks a question, some of them are like, and then the rest of us are like, oh no. You did it. You're in trouble now. This is not a trick question. How many of you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? How many of you believe that today? You believe, as Genesis 1 says, that this God you can't see said, let there be light, and there was light. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that one day a trumpet is going to sound? I'm not sure that's really going to be like a real trumpet, because the word in the Greek is a vibration. It's a pulse. That's why I got to hurry up. Although, you know, I feel like that just because I'm not here for a Sunday, and I know somebody else preaches, I still feel like I have time to make up. So that's why it's important that you worship. Because for a Holy Ghost-filled person to sit in the presence of God and not worship, you are training yourself to not respond to the pulse. What if when the trumpet sounds, it's not some... What if when the trumpet sounds, all that happens is God just... But those that have trained themselves to be responsive to the Spirit, when they get that little pulse, something awakens inside of them, and there is a response. So whether it's a trumpet like the marching band or if it's simply a pulse, how many of you believe that one day a trumpet's going to sound and people that are in graves are all of a sudden going to shoot up out of graves, and then those that are still alive, all of a sudden gravity is going to release its hold on them and they are going to fly through the... How many of you believe that? How many of you really believe that? How in the world, Brother Barr, can we believe there was nothing? And God spoke and created something. How can we believe that God is going to cause gravity to loose its hold on us and fly through the air, and we can't truly believe that though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, I can make you white as snow. I can cleanse you and make you completely clean from any stain. I am preaching to people this morning that I believe you believe what I just asked you. I don't question it in the least bit. You believe creation. You believe the right. You believe all of that. And yet some of you that just said that, or if I could be as bold as to say many of you that just said that, are struggling with guilt and condemnation and shame. Realize what kind of an ego you have? Do you realize how arrogant you have to be to believe that God can create something out of nothing? That God can cause people in the grave and people that are living to suddenly shoot up in the air? Do you understand how arrogant you have to believe that God can do that, but He can't forgive you of whatever wrongs you've done? You're telling me that what you did wrong is bigger than creating an earth? You're telling me that what you did wrong is bigger than creating light? Oh, Jesus. I'm gonna tell you, this is how a whole bunch of you, this is how a whole bunch of you are living. I was told this morning, my way, greeting a few folks on my way in. Somebody said to me, "That's a." I think the way they said it was, "That's a bright tie you have on today." I'm like, thanks, huh? I appreciate that. I thought I'll take that as a compliment. That's a bright tie. I wanna show you how a lot of you folks here today are living. You want to see how a lot of you are living today? You'll see, y'all like my brother Rondell. See my bright tie? I won't ask you if you like it. I don't want to put you on the spot. In case if you don't like it, I don't want you lying in church. So, you like my tie? Thank you. You like my tie? Thank you.
Yeah. Bright spring. I mean, I just know it's not Raven's purple, but it's a little purple. You know, it's got a little hint of it in there. Yeah. Take my tie. I hope I look nice. I hope at least my wife. It doesn't really matter anymore. All my wife thinks I look nice. But I'm gonna show you how a bunch of you are living. This is the way you're living today. You'll see my tie. I'll let you see all of it now. Look at that. Like it? Yeah. Here's what you don't see. Y'all see that all morning long. Somebody said, well, that's a bright tie. Thanks. That's a nice looking. Thanks. I know none of y'all probably remember, but some of y'all have seen this tie before. It's not new. I don't wear it much anymore because it feels so wide. It's so weird. Went through skinny ties when I was young, and then I went through wide ties, and now I have this tie for probably 15, 20 years now. So I'm learning. Just keep them. They'll be back. I got some skinny ties. You, 25, 30 years ago, you couldn't have paid me to wear a skinny tie. I did that when I was a teenager. I got that all morning long. Y'all can't see over here. All morning long. I've been hiding because I know I'm stained. I got an outward perception that looks all right. But what I knew all morning long that you didn't know. And I wear this tie every now and then because I know if I'll keep it positioned just right, nobody will know. What's kind of interesting, it's starting to happen. Sometimes when I've worn this tie and I've preached and gotten sweaty, when I get done, my shirt has got yellow. See, when you get stains that you don't let God cleanse you from, you don't decide what they stain and what they don't stain. So since some of you couldn't care less, but others of you are curious, I'll let you know what happened. Years ago, Esther was doing a project. I think it was a speech. And her speech was going to be about tying ties and I think tying bow ties. And so she borrowed my tie. Yeah, she borrowed my tie to be able to demonstrate how to tie a tie. In the course of that, my tie was in her backpack, and the highlighter in her backpack broke. And so, that was probably early 2000s, for years now, I still wear it. I wore it intentionally today, but every now and then I still wear it. You see, this part's kind of like forgiveness. We get the forgiveness and the external, you know, but the problem is too many of you, while maybe you've confessed and you believe you're forgiven, you still are walking around with some stains. And John didn't just say, if you confess your sins, he'll forgive you and that's it. He said, if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just that he will forgive you and though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's intent is that when you are born again, it's not just to forgive you so the outward shell seems okay. But God's desire is that when you repent and when you are washed of your sins, that what He desires to do is He gives you something brand new. I would leave it around here, but
I haven't lost enough weight yet, so I still got to hide my stomach. It's not just the external that he's interested in cleaning up, son. It's not just a partial part. I ain't going to get it tied right, so I'll just have to swallow my pride and
keep trying to lose more weight. So. He's interested in making you absolutely brand new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If I can get some honesty here this morning, how many of you walk in here and I may give more than one example, but how many of you walk in here and you sit and this is not about right now, we're talking about in general, so that way, you know, husbands and wives, you don't have to worry about the other one jamming you in the ribs if you respond. But how many of you have ever come into a service? You and your wife are going through some struggles in your relationship. Going through some difficulties. And when you come in here and you start looking around, your perception, as you start looking at all the other couples, is, man, we're the only ones. We're the only ones that ever had, look at brother and sister so-and-so. They're in love all the time. What you don't realize is brother and sister so-and-so are sitting at you going, man, they're in love all the time. How come we're not like that? Anybody ever felt that way? Thank you, Brother Tino. I appreciate one person being honest. How many of you have ever walked in? I won't say that you did it this morning because some of you did. But how many of you have ever walked in and as you're sitting in your seat trying to worship, you're looking around at everybody else. You're looking at the people down front worshiping going, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no, look at them. They're perfect. They got it all together. What is my, I have no hope. Anybody ever? Another one of those times we're about to need a healing line for paralyzed arms because I don't believe you haven't ever done that. Do you know what? I don't need a response on this one for your privacy sake. There are people sitting in this room right now, and in particular those that come with regularity, sitting in this room right now battling some kind of addiction. Whether it's drugs, prescription drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever else. And you know what he's trying to convince you of? You are the only person in this room right now battling an addiction. I'm the pastor. And I know as much, if not more, than most people here. And so I can tell you, I wish you were the only one in this room battling some kind of addiction. Because there's people all over this room that are battling some kind of an addiction. I said, there are people sitting here right now all over this. There's people in this room battling pornography. There's people in this room battling drug use. There's people in this room battling alcohol, battling nicotine addiction that come regularly, that worship, pray, do all that stuff. But the enemy wants you to think you are the only one in the room. No, you're not. I'm not here, and you want to misuse the message this morning. That's between you and God. I'm not here this morning justifying sin. I'm not here this morning condoning sin. But what I'm going to tell you is this. A righteous man falls 7 times, and he gets up again. And rejoice not against me, O my enemy, because when, not if I fall, but when I fall, I shall arise. And if I will confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me, but he also wants to make me brand new. Cleanse as if there was never a stain. I know that doesn't make sense to your natural mind, but don't sit there and argue with me that that doesn't make sense to your natural mind, but you can believe that suddenly in a moment, gravity is not going to hold you anymore. That makes any more sense? Absolutely not. He not only wants to forgive, but He wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In the biblical illustrator, there's a story. It says a preacher admired the whiteness of a washerwoman's clothes. There they hung upon the line, beautifully white, as compared with the dark slates of the roof of the house behind them. But after a snowstorm had come on, which covered the roof and streets with a mantle of unsullied purity, they seemed to have lost all their whiteness. And when he said to her, "The clothes do not look quite so white as they did," she replied, "Ah, sir, the clothes are as white as they were, but what can stand against God's almighty white? What can compare to what God makes pure? Whatever may be clean from a natural perspective, when God cleanses it, it takes it to a whole different level." Oh, Jesus. Preaching to people this morning that walk in here week after week after week. And it's a victory that you just come. Because some of you, you're struggling simply with the first part, that He's forgiven you, much less that He'll cleanse you. But that's what is offered. That's what is made available to you. There's some things about David, King David, that are just so amazing. There's many aspects, but one of the aspects about David to me that is very interesting is that he had this, I don't know if he even understood it, but he had this sense or this revelation of something that was not yet even available. Because of the laws that they were under and the things that God had established in the Old Testament and the New Testament hadn't taken place yet, there were things that David said, there were psalms that David wrote, that it wasn't even the proper time for them. Psalms 51, which is David's reply to being confronted by the prophet Nathan for his sin of adultery and plotting to have the husband murdered, his prayer of repentance. Because if my study is correct, if my understanding of Scripture is correct, David's prayer of Psalm 51 was prayed before the prophet Isaiah said what he did in chapter 1, verse 18. The promise that I will make you as white as snow, the promise that no matter how deeply dyed you are, no matter how deep the stain is, I have the ability to cleanse it and make you completely clean. That hadn't been said yet. And yet, listen to what David says in Psalm 51, verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression." God, there is a deep stain of what I have done. That the stain of adultery and the stain of murder is deeper than the stain from the blood of that worm. But I'm asking you to blot it out. And I'm asking you to wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He didn't really have a right to pray that yet. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to quit. We got life course previews, and I don't want you rushing out of here. I want you to go talk, but I can't. I got to do my job. It If David before Calvary, if David before Jesus ever shed his blood on the cross to provide forgiveness and cleansing, if David had the faith enough to say, blot out my transgressions, wash me and cleanse me, if David had enough faith to pray that then, how much more should you and I have the faith to pray now that everything has been done to be able to provide that has happened and it's now available to you and I? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive, but also to cleanse. I've said it many, many times, and I'll keep saying it. I appreciate things that the world does. I appreciate programs that the world has, one of those being recovery programs. But my understanding of recovery programs is they all have something that I think is fairly common, again, at least from my understanding, and that is basically they tell you whatever you were, that's what you always will be. And so the best that you can hope for is to just live as someone who is recovering. And I know there's some of you before you came to Jesus, you had gone through some of those and they helped you and you had lived with months and years of sobriety and celebrated that and that's a wonderful thing. But there's something more. There's more than just you living as a recovering addict. God offers to forgive. And to cleanse, to wash you, and make you completely clean. And I tell you that, in my opinion, you know who has some of the biggest struggles with what I'm preaching this morning? Chris, you know who in this room has some of the biggest challenges to believe what I'm preaching? You want to know who? I thought you did. That's why I asked you. You know who? You. People born and raised in church. People like you. Because all of you people that got saved when you were older, in a lot of ways we could say you didn't know better. It's not 100% completely true, because John says light has shined to everyone. I can't ever get people to sit up front a lot of times, even though the day it's pretty full, thank you. So maybe I'll start preaching in the back. And then, it's people who have been born and raised in church. Because when you weren't born and raised in church and you come and you hear a message about forgiveness and you, and again, in a lot of ways, we could say you didn't know better. And now that you've been told what's available, and now that you've been told there's a better life, you are ready and willing to accept that. But the problem with people like you and I, Declan, the problem with people like you and me, Matthew, is we sat in Sunday school classes. We grew up in the youth group. We went to youth camp. We went to youth congress. We've been taught and trained And so when we fall, as we all will, we struggle with the fact that I knew better. All the people that got saved when they were adults, they didn't know any better. I knew better. I made commitments. I made dedications to God. I went to the altar at youth camp and gave my life. I surrendered and I promised God and I asked God to use me. And then I went out and I fell. I messed up. You know how many people raised in church that thankfully stay saved, but they live all of their lives still feeling like they are stained because I knew better. I say to you again, John's words were written to people who knew better. Caleb, John was writing to people that knew better. And yet to people who knew better, he says, if you confess your sins, he's not just willing to forgive you, but he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That God will look at you and what he sees is someone who is completely, totally innocent. We fault other religions who try to earn forgiveness. We criticize other religions who preach a gospel of having to earn forgiveness. It's really sad that we spend so much time criticizing them for what we as apostolics often live. Oh, we don't preach it. We don't preach it. But it's how we feel. I think I have it in my... I thought I was done with it, but I think I already read it, but I'll read it one more time. All men can dye their souls. Maybe I didn't read this part. But only God can bleach them. It is in our power to dye ourselves into all colors, but only God can make us white. Only God can make us clean. And the idea is that there is no human condition too desperate for divine treatment. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Sometimes I come and I preach and I go into a message thinking, God, if there's just simply one person in this room today that this is for, so be it. And if that's the case, that really is good enough for me. But I'm going to tell you, I believe in my spirit this morning. This message today isn't for one person. In fact, if I could be so bold as to say, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord in some form or fashion is speaking to the majority of the people in this room. If you've never repented of your sins and asked God to forgive you and been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with His Spirit, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad of a person you've been according to the world's standards. God is willing to forgive and cleanse. But then to others of you that you've repented before and you've messed up again and you've repented, you've messed up. And for you as well. God is interested today in letting you know, letting you walk out of this place with the confidence that not only has God forgiven me, but He's cleansed me. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if for no other reason to try to make it a little easier on you to respond. If you're willing, if you are willing to acknowledge that the Spirit of the Lord is talking to you this morning and you need God to do this for you. You need God to help you have the grace to believe this, to live this, to know that not only are you forgiven, but you're cleansed. Old things passed away. Everything has become new. If you're here this morning, I invite you to get up out of your seat. Come down to this altar. Let that blood wash over you today. Let God not just forgive you, not just pardon you for your wrong, but He wants to make you completely clean. Preacher, that doesn't match up with my mind. That doesn't match up with what I know. That doesn't match up with my intellect. I understand that. I understand that. But if you let your faith be released, while it may not make sense to your natural mind, your spirit man, it resonates with your spirit man. Oh, how wonderful would it be for some of you to walk out of this place today no longer trying to live motivated to make up for what you've done wrong. No longer trying to live to undo. You can't undo what you've done. You can't get rid of the dye of sin on your garment. No matter how hard you try, even if you live perfectly from this day forward, you can't get rid of that stain. But oh, there is one in this place today that has the power and the ability and has done everything necessary to forgive and to cleanse. You can leave today with a white garment. You can leave today with every stain of the past completely washed away. You don't need to respond right now for yourself. Can I get some folks to help? Whether it's those that are in the altar, and I think there's some people that haven't come to the altar yet because you're still struggling with faith to believe, but maybe somebody can come to where you are and help you and let God touch you right where you are. In the name of Jesus.
For the blood of life. Thank you.
Come on, somebody
Jesus
needs to go beyond forgiveness today. Forgiveness
white.
Is a wonderful thing. We need
thank
it.
Thank you, Jesus. You
we have to be forgiven.
My life.
But don't just stop with forgiveness.
Me from the darkness,
He wants to cleanse you. He wants to make you whiter than
thank
snow.
You, Jesus,
no stain.
The
there is life. No stain too deep.
Thank you, Jesus. It has
whoa,
washed.
In the name
white.
Of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. You have saved.
I'm not here today preaching
life.
Some self-help message.
Brought me from.
I'm not here to preach to you some motivational message. I preach to you the Word of God today.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
Oh, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood.
Thank you, Jesus. It has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus. You have saved my life.
If you confess,
from the darkness,
He is faithful. If you confess, He is faithful.
Jesus, for the blood applied.
Oh, no. not just forgiveness,
Jesus,
but cleansing today.
Me white.
There's a cleansing in this place
thank
this morning.
You, Jesus, you have saved me from the darkness. Glorious life. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. There is
in the name of Jesus.
Stronger than the
in the name of Jesus.
Working power of the blood. The Father through the blood. The blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. The blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Glorious life. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Thank you.
If you're a life course facilitator, as soon as possible, if you can make your way to the back, be available for those that are might want to talk to you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the power of the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.